Hey, everybody, and welcome back to Rice to Meet You, your comedy podcast about Asian culture. We just want to thank you guys again for all the support that you've shown us. We're always happy to hear from our listeners. Thanks for all the DMs and all of the messages that we get on Instagram and Discord. If you want to join our Discord, just head on over and sign up and join the discussion. And if you become a patron of the podcast, you get access to our special Patreon-only Discord channels, like the K-Drama Chat, where we talk about all of the K-Dramas that we're watching, and the Thirst Channel, where we just thirst over basically all of the hot dudes. Hyunbin is mentioned in there a few times by yours truly. And we also have our ideas channel there where you can drop us ideas, topics, and feedback that you want to add to the conversation. So head on over now and we'll see you there. And now, on with the show.
I mean, I think people who listened or were going to listen would probably suspect that we would be talking about Asian things because of like our faces.
Because our faces and the fucking intro music. Yeah. Is this not Asian enough for you? Hello, welcome to Rice to Meet You, a comedy podcast about Asian culture with me, Nigel Ng.
And me, Evelyn Mok.
Hey! Yay. Welcome back, everybody.
And
we are still in Gothenburg. We're doing batch records. We recorded an episode yesterday, and we're recording another one today.
You sound like you're trapped.
I am trapped. I feel trapped. I'm homesick. I miss London.
This is what Nigel told me, like, when I came in, he was like, oh, I've been here for too long. Oh, I can't get a good coffee. Oh, I feel trapped. And I'm like, it's because you've only been in your room editing.
Hey.
And also,
I was in the lobby also.
You were in the lobby.
Not just my room, okay?
Oh my gosh. And then also, like, the coffee, it's like, I can take you to places, but you've just been hanging around with randoms who've taken you to, like, the commercial places.
Not randoms. I was all alone in Gothenburg.
Okay.
In Stockholm, I met up with one person. That's it.
You told me you wanted to work.
I did work, yeah. I worked a lot during the day. Yeah. And I realized, Radisson Blu is a nice hotel, but the nicer the hotel is, the more depressing it is sometimes, you know?
Oh, yeah. Because, why?
Because you just wake up and it's plush carpeting. It's weird. It's
what so do you mean?
You feel like one of those, like, lonely businessmen, you know, on a business trip and there's nobody around you and you're working.
Like one of those Asian businessmen?
Yeah, one of those lonely Asian businessmen with your heart suitcase.
It just reminds me of that Simpson episode, you know, that scene where they're at the sushi restaurant when Homer gets poisoned by a blowfish. And in that scene, it's like just like Japanese businessmen who sing karaoke and they're like, hi, yeah, my name is Ken and this is for you, Carol. And then he just starts singing like a karaoke song. It just reminds me of that.
Yeah.
When I think of Asian businessmen.
That's the vibe. Do white businessmen have that stereotype? Do white businessmen have the lonely businessman stereotype when they travel abroad?
Well, they often come home with a wife.
They have affairs. See, Asian businessmen, we don't have affairs abroad.
So why did we change it back to Asian culture?
Well, we had a discussion. I had a discussion on a Discord, and I realized you know, we always introduce in the beginning of the podcast. We've been around for a year now, so we're always trying to evolve the podcast. You know, in a direction that fits with our career goals. You know, so initially
our career goals,
yeah,
i.e. Nigel's career goals.
You want a tour too? Stop making it sound like I'm taking all the benefit, Evelyn. You just crossed 10K followers.
I did. Yeah.
So, you know, stop making it out like I'm the selfish one here. I'm helping you out.
I'm just joking.
Yeah, I know.
I continue.
But yes, when we started the podcast, it was a comedy podcast about Asian culture because we interviewed a lot of other Asian people in the UK, and we also talk about a lot of Asian things, you know? And as the podcast progressed, we interviewed fewer and fewer people only because we got too busy. There's a pandemic. It's really hard to plan. Technically, it's difficult to get a video, especially if they're not in the same room as us. Then you have to... We were mailing our guest microphones.
We were, and then I was in Sweden, and it was quite a tough one.
Even doing an audio-only episode was very tough, you know? I got to mail the microphone, and then we had to... Before the podcast started, we had to meet with them half an hour earlier to set up the mic, because everybody's computer is somewhat different. Not everybody knows how USB works, you know. Evelyn doesn't know how a USB works. And then there's two types of USB now, you know. Yeah. So there's an adapter I have to send them. Yeah. I have to teach them how to assemble the mic. And even and that's just audio. Yeah. Imagine if you want to do video too. We have to send a camera, tripod, a light.
Yeah.
You know? So yeah. I think it's just impossible. And we were going to do, we're still going to do interviews, but there's fewer of them. And then only when we can all be in the same room, then there's fewer variables to worry about. You know, when we have a conversation, I want to focus on the conversation. I don't want to be focusing on, okay, what light should I send to my guests? You know what I mean? So that's the reason why we decided, okay, so this is going to be both of us talking mostly. And we just talk about our lives, our friendship, you know, our day-to-day ongoings, funny stories in our lives. We decided, okay, let's just make it, let's just say, comedy podcast with us. But then, after a Discord discussion, I realized, okay, comedy podcast about Asian culture is still very appropriate because every episode, we talk about Asian things.
Yeah, we do. Yeah.
Because we're Asian. It's like, it's our lives.
The thing is just like, I mean, I personally think comedy podcasts about Asian culture sounds nicer and it's more clear what the podcast is about. And then, but then again, I do understand concerns of like, oh, maybe we're alienating a broader audience. But even if we had just, you know, the time that we had just a comedy podcast with Evelyn Mok and Nigel Ung, I mean, I think people who listened or were going to listen would probably suspect that we would be talking about Asian things because of like our faces.
Because our faces and the fucking intro music. Yeah. Is this not Asian enough for you?
It's very Asian.
You think this song comes on and we're going to talk about white culture and pierogies? And schnitzel? Is this a schnitzel theme song? Really? Schnitzel and bratwurst over this?
Why are you playing it again?
I just try to illustrate a point.
Because that's the thing, when I chose that intro music, I was like, I wanted something that sounded Asian, but still wasn't like, you know, gong.
You're
like,
exactly. You are eating my pussy, boy.
Exactly. And I want that. But it's like, because it's interesting that, because, you know, it's like, you can get caught up on phrasing, and you can get caught up on like, you know, just some, how you describe something. But then as the people who make the thing, this is what we've talked about in a few episodes before. Like, because are we then pigeonholing ourselves? Or, you know, because we feel the need to explicitly say that it's about Asian culture, shouldn't it be enough that, you know, oh, it's two Asians who have a comedy podcast. Mm-hmm. Asian culture is probably gonna come up.
Yeah.
So, you know, like,
or it might not sometimes.
Or it might not. Right. And can we have that freedom then? Or you know, like, or is it that we do need, you know, to add the about Asian culture because it's like, hey, you know, it's about representation, and so it's good to have that in the description. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Let us know in the comments if you're watching on YouTube, or let us know on Discord, or DMs. We get too many DMs. We don't read them anymore. But just let us know in the comments on YouTube.
I try to read all of them, but it's a bit overwhelming. So I do it once a week now.
And we'll try this, the comedy podcast about Asian culture intro, and then we'll see that if our growth suddenly stops. They're like, fuck this Asian culture shit. No more. Change the intro music.
Bring the racist back. Bring the racist to listeners back.
Let's change it to Don't Stop Believing. That's going to be our intro music. If you stop listening after you change to Asian culture.
Yeah.
We're bringing Bon Jovi as an intro song.
Oh, my God.
Okay?
That would be great. Oh, that would be great just to have John Bon Jovi here. Because honestly, even if we don't have Asian culture there, it's like, who are we fooling?
Yeah. With a name like Rice to Meet You.
Yeah, I know.
Like, what do you think we are going to talk about?
Isn't that enough?
Yes.
Isn't that enough? If we changed it to like Quinoa to Meet You, as we've joked about before, fine, okay, you know.
Avocado to Meet You.
Yeah, avocado toast.
Yeah, caviar to Meet You. You know, but it's Rice to Meet You. And guess who one of the hosts are? It's Uncle Roger. What do you think is going to go down?
The most Asian man on the internet.
Uncle Roger, such a love avocado. I sound like this, but I don't like Asian culture at all. It's a burden I have to carry. I sound Asian, but I very white on inside.
Where the...
Sorry. Every day I'm eating croissant. Only croissant.
Where the oat milk?
Yeah, the oat milk. I got all the allergy.
Yeah.
Hiya. Oh, hiya is a white word. Hiya is white word. It's old Icelandic language. Came from all the Viking. Hiya is Viking word.
Hiya is what they shout before they invade your city.
Yes.
Invade your village. Yeah. Before they pillage. Before they pillage.
Yes. But anyways, that what we are saying is, whether or not we say Asian culture up top, like, it doesn't change our content.
There's, yeah.
Yeah, you people true. Have a suspicion what we're going to talk about.
Yeah, very true.
Yeah.
But I, at the same time, I do understand that it's nice to have that explicitly on the description
because
as well.
Because you feel a sense of belonging.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And we want
and proudness.
To feel that. Yeah. Yeah, proudness. And everybody knows how to plug it.
Yeah.
You know, when you listen to Rise to Meet You, people ask you, what is it about? And you say, comedy podcast. About Asian culture.
Yeah.
You know, and that is, it sounds, it's a nice catchy catchphrase.
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it definitely is.
And this it's, is our, this is our last night in Gothenburg, you know?
It is. And it's going to be exciting because I'm going to take you to a very lovely dinner later.
Yes.
Which I very much like. It's
We had a nice dinner yesterday, too.
We did with my friends.
Yeah.
Shout out to Suhan and Petter.
Suhan. Very first patron.
Our first patron. Yay.
Thank and you.
She still is, even though I've told her numerous times to quit.
She is so rich. Like the amount of time it takes for her to find her credit card and cancel. Like she makes more money by staying a patron.
That's exactly what she said. She's like, it's nothing.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, you're so rich.
She owns a house in like the nicest part of Gothenburg. She's doing okay.
Our lives took such a different turn.
Yeah.
Like they crossed like that. Like we were like to... this up until 15 and then like woo.
Yep. And now she has to donate money to you.
Yeah, she does. I honestly feel like that's what she feels. She's like, "Oh, I need to take care of Evelyn cuz she can't be dependent on her parents forever."
And and you know she's doing well because people who do well at their work, they never talk about their work and we don't feel the need to ask her about their work.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But
yeah.
She was asking Evelyn, "So Evelyn, how's the acting going? How's you got a lot of roles, you know?" She was like a concert mom.
She was. Like every time I meet her, she's like, "So how's it going? Like, tell me, blah, blah, blah." And every time I'm like, "Oh, I don't know. I don't know if I should stay in London or if I should move back to Sweden." Yeah. And she's like, oh. And you know, I've never seen her crack and be like, "Just make a decision. Yeah. Get a real job."
She's thinking that on the inside.
Yeah.
And you've never asked Suhan. You've never asked her, "So how's project managing a construction company going?" Because she's going to be like, "Yeah, it's very lucrative. Why? You want to join us? Finally. Join us, please."
That's basically what she says when I ask her. She's like, "It's fine. Yeah. I mean, we haven't really been that affected by the pandemic.
Yeah.
We're lucky."
Translated that. Yeah. We're still rich.
We're still
yeah.
rich. So they are so rich. And like during dinner, Nigel.
Fun dinner. I was such a great conversationalist.
I beg to differ.
What?
So
my topics were so on point.
Your topics were regurgitating what we talk about on the podcast.
Yeah. Okay. Well, in my defense, we recorded a podcast directly before dinner and we had some really funny lines in there. And Suhan doesn't listen to every single episode. So I was like, why not reuse the genius lines I had on the podcast?
Oh, my God.
So why not waste those nuggets of golden conversation?
Terrible dinner guest. Terrible.
I entertained the table.
It was so inappropriate. He told the condom story.
Yeah.
He told the condom story. And I was like, Nigel, this is really inappropriate.
That's how you connect. I told it after dinner was finished. So I got to have some rapport already. Okay. And that's how you connect with people. You talk about personal things. Instead of the weather. Oh, it's cloudy today. I heard it's going to rain. Do you have your umbrella? How many siblings do you have? Where are you originally from? enough of that shit. Tell me the condom story. Tell me how hard it is to get condoms in Stockholm.
I mean, my friends were just like, oh, okay.
They were laughing. They weren't like, oh, they were laughing in agreement.
They weren't laughing in agreement.
They were laughing in agreement.
They were laughing. They were laughing, but they weren't laughing in agreement.
No, they'll be like, that's so relatable. So relatable.
Oh my God.
And listeners, you don't know what condom story you're talking about. We talked about it in the previous two episodes. Okay. Yeah. The Sweden one and also last week's one.
Yeah. And so you told the condom story and I was like, oh, Nigel. And then you also asked her husband, Petter, for a shoe tree.
Yeah, I need a shoe trees. Listeners, if you don't know what shoe trees are, it's like things you put in your shoes when you're not wearing them. So you only usually put them in like expensive shoes. And I love my Chelsea boots. And I didn't bring shoe trees with me on this trip because my luggage was already too heavy. And I'm seeing creases start to develop in them. And it breaks my heart. So when I met Peter, Suhan's husband, I got the vibe. He's a shoe tree kind of guy.
Oh, my God.
All right? He's dressed smart. I could tell he's well-heeled. He has nice shoes.
So well-heeled?
It's a phrase, okay? And I could tell he had nice shoes. He's a nice shoes kind of guy. And I was right. I was like, hey, Peter, do you have shoe trees? And he was like, yeah, sure. What size are you? Boom. I read people like a book, people.
Oh, my God. It was such a random question. And it's like, he's nice. They're so nice. They're the nicest people I know. So, of course, he's going to say yes. But it's like, you can't just ask somebody you've just met. Like, hey, could I have your shoe trees?
Why not? I was willing to buy it from them. And he knows it's a guy thing. Guys know how important having a shoe tree is. And turns out he loves shoes and he knows all about shoe trees.
He does,
and then we had a great conversation about Chelsea boots, about what Swedish shoemaker I should get. Amazing dinner conversation. You don't even know. That's how guys talk to each other. We talk about physical objects.
Oh, God. Yeah.
And then I checked out his shoes, and they were very nice. Not the right toe box shape I was looking for, but it was very nice. I could tell it was well made. And then he admired my Chelsea boots. I told him it's from a Northampton British-based shoemaker, and he liked it too.
Okay, guys. I mean, if you ever get the chance to have dinner with Nigel, take it, because it's an interesting experience.
And I want to thank Peter. Thank you so much for the shoe trees. My shoes are in so much better shape now. For people who don't use shoe trees before, if I can use them, they protect your shoes. And my shoes were like really creasing, and now it's stretching back out, which is like making it smoother. So thank you so much, Peter, for your shoe trees. And I appreciate it. Next time you're in London, I have all the shoe trees I can give to you. And, you know, to return the favor, I'll bring you to a nice British shoemaker. You can go shopping together.
Oh, gosh.
Okay. So it wasn't weird. It was a very natural conversation. I had the best conversation skills.
Yeah. Okay.
What? What do you have to say? What disagreement are you having?
Not according to normal people.
We are not normal. Well, I'm not normal. Normal people talk about the weather.
You're not normal, but like you can be, I think no comedian's normal, but then there are comedians who know how to be around people.
I know how to be around people. We had such a great time.
Oh, gosh.
I found a common interest and I built rapport with Peter. Isn't that what a conversation is? So okay. Peter leads the conversation knowing who I am and I know who he is as a person. I know just a bit more about him. No, like what the... That's how you connect with someone. You find common interests. Conversation 101, isn't it?
I mean, honestly, if we didn't do this podcast, I don't think we would hang out.
Why? Because you suck at talking to people? Is that why?
I'm so good at talking to people. I'm so engaged. I ask about them. I ask about how, like, their interests, and then we talk about, like, a communal interest.
That's exactly what I did with Peter. I talked about shoes and shoe trees.
The conversation was very, very Nigel Ung dominated.
No.
It was very much from your perspective.
We both like shoes.
It's so funny. Oh. But honestly, I think, if we didn't do this, like Nigel and I, we are so different. We're really different people. And I think that if we both weren't Asian and we both weren't comedians, we probably wouldn't hang out. Do you agree?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Think so. If you were white, fuck off. Nothing in common. Nothing in common, girl.
That's the thing. Like
Evelyn's too patient.
Patient.
She's too patient. She just let things happen at their own pace. You know, we ordered the Uber yesterday at your friend's place.
Yeah.
And then I ordered the Uber and I saw like 7 minutes, fuck! And I was pacing around and everyone's like, what are you doing? Chill, it's gonna come.
Just sit down.
Yeah, 7 minutes for an Uber. I might as well walk. Seven minutes.
It was just like, yeah, okay, 7 minutes. That's what it takes in Gothenburg. I mean, sure, in London, probably a bit like quicker or whatever. But like 7 minutes is nothing. And it was raining outside and we were in their kind of like lobby, which was really lovely. And there was a bench where like the intention is that you can sit down and wait for things. So I was like, just sit down, Nigel. Just sit down. And you were pacing back and forth. And I was like, what would you do if I wasn't around?
That's what I do. I pace back and forth.
You would pace back and forth. And it's like, and the thing is, you've developed more tics. So Nigel, I'm going to reveal something about you.
Oh, no.
Like, Nigel has tics whenever he's stressed. It started, the first tic that I noticed was you just doing your hair.
Yeah, so whenever,
when he's stressed, he just like he kind of talks to you and looks at his computer and he plays with your hair, and that's when I know he's stressed. Yang is nodding as well; she's noticed that. But now you've added this thing, like
what?
Your leg is like yeah. So you're kind of like this. And so you shake your leg.
I'm always raring to go. I'm always like, go.
Exactly. So you shake your leg now and you play with your hair. And I'm like, oh, shit. He's like a time bomb waiting to explode. This isn't good. And so, like, Nigel has a bunch of, like, and I'm just kind of eager to see what the next tick is.
There's no more ticks. My life is stressful.
So
it's hard. It's a hard life I live.
Well, I think, I mean, you have a lot of work and stuff and... I understand. I mean, I work as well, but then also the thing, I think you're extra, you're just concerned more, not more concerned, but you're like, you're worried.
I'm wound up tight.
You're very wound up tight.
Yeah. Hey, listen, these tics are okay. You know, your tics is you overeat and get diabetes. So it's like, who's the winner here? I shake my leg and play with my hair. Okay. My tics don't cause me to need insulin injections.
That's true, actually. Yeah. That's true. I do have high blood pressure. Yeah. And that's also from stress. Yeah.
We all have flaws, people.
I did order an ice cream yesterday for dessert.
And I was like, I don't want to say anything because I'm like, people don't want to hear this. I know Evelyn, nobody wants to hear that they have diabetes. You know what I mean? So I just sat there and smiled. And I was asking, I was a supportive friend. I was like, how's ice cream? Is it good? Is it good? Is it worth the blood sugar increase? Is it good? Right? I was so supportive.
You were, yeah.
I did not give a single piece of advice or solution. Nobody wants that nowadays. It's all about the emotion, how you feel. You know, it's all about how you feel. If you deserve an ice cream, eat the ice cream. Okay? Who cares what your body's trying to tell you? You deserve it, girl. You deserve ice cream.
Oh, gosh.
Okay, I was joking. Okay, there is some truth in that. It's driven by emotion, and it's okay. You have to listen to your emotions.
No, yeah. I mean, I just wanted ice cream at that point, but I know that I need to stop. I need to lose weight for health purposes.
I know you know. That's why I didn't say anything.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
I know you're not an idiot.
Yeah.
So I was like, Evelyn knows.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's just self-destructive, you know, but it's okay.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
what
yeah,
a
yeah.
great friend. I understand her so well.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for letting me just self-destruct a little bit.
You're welcome. That's the things friends do for each other.
Yes,
we allow other friends to self-destruct. Isn't this what modern friendship is now? You know what I mean? You're there for them emotionally, but friends in this day and age, they don't really... stop you from, you know, there are no like prescriptive advice, you know, they don't tell you what to do, they're just there for emotional support.
I mean, that's what friendship is. And then you intervene if like somebody's get in an abusive relationship, of course you intervene.
Yeah, but the abusive relationship thing is different. But this, I'm thinking about something you do to yourself. Friends generally don't try to step in and be like, no, you shouldn't eat that, put the sugar down, you know. Friends don't do that anymore, right? Friends,
do they ever used to?
I think, I mean, I grew up in Malaysia, and
in Malaysia.
We'll be harsher. I think because now...
But Asians,
you know, I don't know if it's an Asian thing or just a progressive society thing. You know, I think in Asia now we are becoming more like this too, where we think yes, just because we think yes, you shouldn't do this, but as a friend, we will allow it. She, you know, she needs this emotionally, and it's not my place to give her feedback. I'm not a medical professional, you know, that kind of thing. We're just here to make you feel good about yourself and not give you advice on how to live your life.
Well, it's extra complicated when it comes to weight and eating, because fat shaming is a real thing. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, it often gets worse if somebody does that. You know, like, hey, should you really be eating that? That's shaming, really. And I think that it makes it worse because that's probably something that person has heard their whole entire life, if that's the type of background they come from. Like, for instance, me, I told you this in the car yesterday. Like, my mom, because I told my, so I got a small part in a Swedish film, and I told my mom, and she was like, oh, that's great, that's great. So now all you have to do is lose weight. And I was like, what do you, mom, I already got the part, and so it's obvious I don't need to lose weight. And she's like, no, yeah, okay, you got the part. But, you know, if you want other bigger parts, you need to lose weight because people value people on how they look. And I was like, wow, okay. And this is what I've heard all of my life. So, you know, if, because fat shaming is so ingrained into our culture and it is real, and, you know, even now, as I'm telling this, I know that people who are going to watch this are not going to believe me and say that I'm being hypersensitive or saying that, you know, it's like a snowflake culture, because they haven't experienced it. Like, our whole culture is set up to shame people who are overweight. And so something as simple as, like, you think you're helping somebody by saying, hey, should you really eat that? But listen to your tone. Listen to how judgmental you're sounding. Listen to, like, how would you feel if somebody said it to you, you know? Like, that way of, you know, saying that you're trying to help somebody is quite patronizing. And so, and that person probably has grown up with that type of tone their whole life. And so when you say something like that, that just kind of adds to their self kind of, you know, shame, and then also makes them want to do it more, either to rebel against you or because they feel like, you know, this is what I then deserve. If this is so bad, then, you know, I deserve it because I am bad. So yeah, that's fat shaming in a nutshell.
Yeah, I didn't say any of that. I'm a great guy.
Oh my God.
I think, yeah, it's a tricky subject, and I don't want to go to places where I don't have any experience in.
This is also another point at how different we are, because you grew up as an Asian boy, and, you know, like, relatively, like, conventionally, you fit into convention. So you're kind of treated like a prince. I grew up as an Asian girl who was plus size in the West, not fitting into convention at all. We had totally different experiences of growing up Asian, even though we're both Asian.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm just telling you my experience. I'm not trying to tell you how you should live. God. I'm just saying, hey, and there's another way that I grew up this way. Uh-huh. And yes, there are people who, even in Asia, yeah, I mean, body shaming is more accepted there,
it
right?
is, and it's more factual, and maybe it's not as steeped in shame.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Steeped in shame. It's not as emotionally charged.
I don't know. I mean, I haven't spoken to anyone who was plus size growing up there. So
okay, let me talk to a few friends. All I'm saying is, you know, let's consider different viewpoints here. You know, I'm not telling you what to do, and I didn't tell you what to do yesterday. You know, because I understand. Yeah. How it makes you feel.
How it makes me feel.
Because we talked about this. And I respect you as a friend.
I just wanted an ice cream at that point. And yeah, so, and it was, you know, fine. I just wanted an ice cream. And but that's another thing that I thought about, because the thing is, it's automatically assumed that it's self-hatred. I don't know, when a woman does it, maybe? I don't know. But the thing is also, I'm comfortable enough to express when I'm feeling insecure about something. It doesn't mean that I hate myself, you know? It means that I'm comfortable enough to express in that moment that I'm feeling insecure about something. And, you know, we can talk about it if we want. But I realize that people around you probably don't feel comfortable with it, because expressing self-doubt or expressing anxiety is automatically associated as not being happy with yourself. But I think like that's not the case for me, at least, like at least in that moment, because I do like myself. I quite enjoy it. And I feel comfortable, you know, expressing when I feel a bit anxious or I feel a bit insecure.
Yeah, but you also have to admit that people would rather hear about shoe trees. It's a very neutral conversation. So who is the better conversationalist? You tell me.
Well, I didn't talk about it at dinner. But it's true. Yeah.
Do you have shoe trees? I can borrow. And it's like, ooh, I'm so insecure. Who do you want at your dinner table?
We're table.
Neither of us. Neither of us.
We're terrible, terrible dinner guests. We're just like
Chelsea Boots, diabetes. Yeah. Oh.
I just hit 2 million. Oh. I none of my clothes fit. I don't know if I want to live in England or in Sweden. Yeah, if I lose my YouTube gold plaque, I have to buy a new one. Yeah. Oh my god, that's very, yeah, very funny.
Turns out we are both shitty dinner guests.
Yeah, we're both shitty
after all that conversation.
Oh gosh,
but that whole insecurity, I agree. I think people get uncomfortable when you talk about emotions, and especially emotions that are negative. You know, they assume you can't handle it and you need help.
Well, I mean, I talk to a therapist about serious things, but I think it's an interesting thing to talk about sensitive topics publicly, because I think we need to start getting comfortable with talking about uncomfortable subjects, because otherwise we never talk about them. And it doesn't mean that they're gone. It just means that they're going to go and grow in silence. And then once that's grown until, you know, an excessive amount, then there's an issue there, you know? So I'm a big kind of like advocate, I don't know, but I'm a big like a believer in talking about uncomfortable things publicly, but obviously in a, like, either, you know, in this kind of setting, like in a podcast.
Not everybody has a luxury
of having a podcast.
Wow. Privilege much? Huh? Not everybody comes to a hotel room with a nice lighting setup and two cameras pointed at them and beautiful sound equipment. You're like, well, sometimes I feel I'm not taking care of my body enough, you know? But everybody has the luxury.
Okay, yes, I know, like, but I mean like publicly, as in like, you know, in a forum or like in at like you know, at a lecture or something like that. I mean, and even with your friends, your closest friends, but maybe not like at a dinner with people you've just met.
I would say if I'm thinking like from my perspective, if my friends want to talk, I'm happy for them talking about their emotional, vulnerable stuff, but keep it to 20% of your conversation, please. Not like all of it, because then it's emotionally exhausting to have to listen. Oh, listening is the worst.
I know it's the worst for you, Nigel. You're terrible at it.
I try. I think I do okay at it if I really, really try super hard.
If you want to sleep with the person.
Yeah, then I have some incentive.
Oh, my God. I really try.
Even if I don't sleep with them, I still try to make them feel special. That's what listening is, right? You want to make the other person feel like they're the most special person in the world.
Yeah, if you find yourself wanting to talk about, you know, like, sensitive stuff and blah, 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 like 80% of the time, then probably see a professional.
Yeah, 20%.
Please. Yeah, 20%.
So I hang off with you for like 5 minutes, only 1 minute you get to talk about your emotional well-being shit.
I guess, I mean, maybe I come off as that because I talk about it in the podcast a lot, but this is where I talk about it.
Yeah, you're like 100% all that.
Do I do it privately a lot?
Sometimes, but 20%, you meet the 20% rule well.
Yeah,
we need to be comfortable talking about, you know, vulnerable, emotional, slightly negative things, because like if you just like yourself all the time, you'll be an asshole.
You'd be you.
No.
Yes, you would.
No, I don't like myself all the time. I'm so vulnerable and emotional if I need to be.
Listeners, yesterday when we were leaving my friend's apartment, Nigel just stopped in front of a window and he just looked at himself and he was like, I look good. I was like, oh my God. How are we friends?
I was dressed nice. Don't you feel like that when you wear nice things and you look in the mirror like, hot damn, you know?
I feel that way, but I don't say it to people.
Why not say it? You say the negative things. Why not say the positive things too? Have some confidence, right? I was dressed nice. I had like nice cologne. I was wearing my Chelsea boots, you know, that I just got shoe trees for after leaving their flat, which is great. Thank you, Peter. And it was amazing. I loved it.
Oh, you're so, so strange. Well, let's move on to our sponsors for the episode.
Yes, we have. We are happy to say that our favorite sponsors are back.
Yay!
Yeah, woo! And guess who are our favorite sponsors for an Asian culture podcast? It's Yum Asia!
I mean, we've only had them and one other sponsor.
Slender, yeah, true.
But so it is a difficult to
Yum Asia
out.
Is back, people!
Yay.
They have some exciting new products coming soon.
Yes.
We are getting, I'm getting a shipment of their new products. There's going to be some rice, some special Thai rice that they make. They're going to start selling rice now because...
They're going to start selling rice!
Which is a no-brainer. You sell rice cookers. Why not just sell rice too? You know what I mean? I can't believe it took you this long, Yum Asia. Please keep sponsoring us. And they're going to have a new rice cooker that they're going to send to me, too.
Oh, which one?
It's a smaller one, their own brand, that has induction. But before this, their induction one in their own brand, it was like a big one. It's an 8-cup rice cooker.
It's the one I have.
Yeah. So I told them, do you have a smaller one? Because I live by myself. I don't have a lot of space in my flat. And they're like, yeah, it's coming in October. So they're going to be sending that to me soon.
So you're going to have two rice cookers.
Yeah, I might throw one away. I might throw... the worst one away. So it's Zojirushi versus Yum Asia.
Don't throw it away. Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not going to throw it away. I'm going to keep both. I'll sell it to Goodwill, you know.
Give it to me.
Give it to you.
Yeah.
I'll sell it to you.
You're such a dick.
What? I paid. All right, fine. I'll give it to you. Fine. I'll give it to Yang. You need a rice cooker, Yang?
Give it to Yang.
You have two rice cookers. The most Asian one.
She's the most Asian one, yeah.
And she's not even on the pod. We need to get her on the pod sometime and talk about her life.
I mean, don't tell people too much
about it.
Maybe she wants to be private.
How private do you want to be? You want to be private? Okay.
She wants to be private.
So we don't know anything about Yang. She's just a videographer from Asia. We're not even going to tell you where in Asia. She's just from Asia.
Yeah, she's just from Asia.
Who has two rice cookers. Okay. So I will give you one. Fine, I'll give you one. But I want to use the Yum Asia one because they have induction heating, which is a slightly better new way of cooking rice compared to my old Zojirushi. Mm-hmm. Zojirushi is good, but I think you know the times have changed and there's more technology in the Yum Asia one now. So I'm excited to get it.
Very exciting.
Yeah,
that's very exciting. And I'm quite excited that they've started with the rice.
Finally.
Because then you can get rice from Yum Asia.
Yeah, get rice cooker, get everything, all the rice-related accessories.
Just go to yumasia.co.uk and be Asian.
Yeah.
Just go to...
Yum Asia should do an Asian starter pack. You know what I mean?
An Asian starter pack.
5 kilos of rice, one rice cooker, and a little thermos. Yum Asia, are you listening?
You should do an Asian starter pack. Oh, that's so funny.
Do it.
And then include, like, then if you have kids, you can choose the, like, Asian mom starter pack, which includes, like, a little bamboo stick that you can hit your kids with if they forget to put the rice on. Yeah.
Do you do that, Yum Asia? Do you have a weapon? A weapon section of your shop?
You can just use, like, the rice like that. That's so funny. Yes, Yum Asia, you need to do starter packs.
Yeah, and then you can have the single Asian person starter pack, the smallest rice cooker, and maybe the rice, and maybe a blow-up doll because you're lonely.
Oh, my God. You know?
All the starter Asian packs.
A blow-up doll.
Yeah, and of an Asian woman or man, okay?
Oh, dear.
None of these Caucasian blow-up dolls. Only the Asian ones, please. So, Yum Asia, listen to us. Do all those starter packs. Use the code Uncle Roger for 10% off all the Yum Asia branded rice cookers. So, go on there. Support the podcast and support Yum Asia.
Yeah.
And also, to be honest, like we are very grateful that Yum Asia decided to continue sponsoring the pod. But let's be honest here, Yum Asia. Where else can you advertise? Where else? You're a UK-based company, and UK and Europe-based company. I don't think there are that many, like, Asian culture things out there, so...
and have sold quite a few, I think. Yeah. Like, our listeners are buying. It's
crazy. Can you imagine, like okay, we might have removed the Asian culture tagline, uh-huh. but the first line of the episode show notes is like, buy a rice cooker from yummyasia.com.
It's like, who are they fooling? Yeah. Who are they fooling?
We're not leaving any Asianness behind. We're still as Asian as you want to be.
Oh, that's so funny. That's very funny. Who are we fooling? Nobody.
Yeah, I was in your car a few nights ago, and you're just talking all your... The car is a great place to open up, by the way.
Yeah, okay, that's true.
And that's fine. I enjoy listening to it. You know, I think we're friends, and I need to know who Evelyn is and how to not piss her off. I'm making notes. Okay, do not tell her to not eat ice cream. No advice. Do not give advice. And that's why I live. You know, that's because that's what you want. I have to respect that.
We were driving... We were driving a really long stretch, and I was talking, and I just fell asleep.
I didn't fall asleep. Why did I fall asleep?
No, but you were like, yeah, I'm going to sleep now. And then I just ended up talking with the videographer that's coming with us for the Uncle Roger thing.
That was a two-hour car ride. Thing where I'm riding in a car. It brings me back to my childhood, okay? Because we just drove around all the time in Malaysia. You know, this is not Sweden. We didn't have, like, scooters you can rent. And zip around the whole city.
Yeah, it's
you know,
great.
In Malaysia, you drive everywhere. And then so it just brings me back. And I'll go to school. I'll wake up at 6:30 and then get in the car at 7, drive to school. It takes an hour and 15 because of the traffic jam. Yeah, then back, driving back, same hour 15. If sometimes it rains and it takes up to 2-3 hours to get back. So yeah, when I'm on the car, I just sleep because there's nothing else you can do. So
did your parents drive you?
Yeah. Oh. And then it's always like, it's very hypnotic, you know. Oh. And that's like that gentle cradle of the
like a child
vehicle. Yeah,
like a child.
That's why I just fell asleep, and I wanted to be refreshed for the filming, just for you guys.
Yeah,
you know. So, yeah, and I was just tired.
Well, it was good because I got to know our videographer a bit.
But your car was surprisingly clean. It was Evelyn's parents' car, and I don't know if you've seen Evelyn's house.
Oh come on,
Evelyn's parents' house. So I expected the worst when I saw her Nissan pull up to my Radisson Blue.
Our cars have always been spotless.
Yeah, it's surprising. I'm just saying it's surprising. I didn't expect it to be. Asian parent cars always have that little trinket hanging from the rear view mirror, right?
Yeah.
They always have like little things on the dashboard. In Malaysia, they have a sticky mat, and they put a little cat thing. But not this design, obviously. This is Scandinavian design.
Okay.
Cat.
You don't have to go on about it.
I love this thing. Okay. I love it. It's like hot pink.
You bought an expensive Marimekko cat. Okay, move on.
Yeah. So I was expecting to see all these little trinkets. And then they always put like a little seat cushion mat thing. So you can actually sit on the seat. You have to sit on like...
We have that.
Yeah,
we
have that. And but only that. It's very surprising. You know?
I mean, we've always had a very clean car. That's
crazy.
Why whenever...
Why don't you tell your parents to treat the house like you treat the car?
Oh, Nigel, you haven't even been to my house. You've seen, like, my room, and then you've seen the other room.
All right, let's go later. Let's go tonight after dinner.
You want to go to our house?
Let's say hi to Francis and your mom.
He might be ill, actually, my dad.
Really?
I'm very worried, yeah.
Uh-oh. Is this the end of Francis Mock?
It's best not to go.
Well,
no.
At least you have made 2 videos with him, so it was a life well lived. That's a life well lived.
My dad, like, I felt because, okay, so I have started making YouTube videos with my dad, and I feel so bad because he's becoming self-conscious, you know? Like, when that self-consciousness you get when you perform.
You have a camera in front of you, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm like, oh, I can't, I hate it. Because, like, so he made a fried noodles and pork recipe, like a Hong Kong-style one, and then... It came out a little bit different than what he was expecting and what he thought of. And so he was like, Evelyn, we have to remake it. Because if a real chef see this, they will know that it's not authentic. We have to remake it. They're going to laugh at me. And I'm like, Dad, they're not going to laugh at you. Like, it's... And so, you know, he has like this, that self-consciousness of when you're aware that other people are seeing you.
I don't know why you think it's a bad thing. He has a standard of excellence. Right? When you put something on film, it lasts forever. So, of course, I want to make it better. And you're just shitting your dad. Dad, it's okay. Just present a shit product. Nobody cares. Your dad wants to better himself. You should be proud of him. Why do you feel bad for someone who wants to make the best thing he can make?
Well, I feel bad because I'm like, oh no, I'm instilling this like self-consciousness in my father that I recognized from myself when I started doing things publicly. And it's horrible. I know that feeling.
What if he likes it? I like it. It makes me strive for excellence.
That feeling?
Yeah. That people are watching.
Well, anyways, I said no. No, I'm not going to refilm it. Do you know how much time it takes?
Wow.
No, I'm kidding. No.
And also, like, what does he do now? He's retired, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, he has time to strive for perfection. Let him do it. What else do you want him to do? I just want him to like not do anything and just watch TV and die? Is that what you want your dad to do?
I just wanted to be retired and happy.
Yeah, but maybe he likes the performative aspect. He's never Asian parents worked their whole lives and they never had a chance to do anything this kind of performative or creative. And now he's finally had the chance to do it at age, what, 60, 65? And then you're like, no, he's making himself conscious. No, he loves it. It's something new to him.
Well, I mean, okay. Yeah, you're right. It's...
Why you deny your dad the pleasure being seen?
I just don't want him to feel stressed about it. You know, I just don't want him to feel stressed about it. And I'm glad that he doesn't really, you know, he doesn't have social media. He doesn't like, he watches YouTube and stuff, but like he doesn't, it's going through me. So anything is going through me. So I share with him all of the positive things. And he's like, ooh, like he's really happy about that. But then also I feel good that I'm the filter so that I can, if there is anything negative, then I can filter that away. I think I've become so much more protective of my parents in their old age. I think you feel the same way, probably.
I don't care. Way. If my mom makes a YouTube video and gets a lot of hate, I'm like, yeah, sorry, mom. Welcome to YouTube.
Are you serious?
Now you know how I feel all the time.
That's so terrible, Nigel.
What? I mean, you can't protect them from everything. The world is a cruel place. They have to learn.
I mean, they've already learned. They're immigrants also, in a country that's so white.
It's your YouTube. It should be about you. You subjected him to this.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I think this is going to be the... I don't think I'm going to make more with him because I think it's too stressful for him and he's already like kind of ill. Like a sick man. So I have to come up with something. But then I don't think YouTube is my forum necessarily. I'm going to write.
You're focus an actor.
On. I'm an actor.
A proper Hollywood star actor-writer combo. No? Who needs YouTube? It's the worst. Who needs it? We have different personalities. I like everything in the process, the editing, the filming, the choosing the camera, the choosing the light.
Yeah, I hate it.
Evelyn likes specialization. That's our difference.
Specialization?
Yeah, you want to write, you want to act. That's it.
Yeah.
I direct, produce, find the lights, buy the tripods. If you like the episode, make sure you go leave us a nice rating and review on Apple Podcasts and support our Patreon too, people, so we can keep making Asian culture content and we'll listen to you on the Discord as well. That's why we're changing it back to Comedy Podcast by Asian Culture.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I mean, it we realize it is getting tougher now that we're both getting busier as things are opening up, but hopefully you'll still like what we make. We're going to try to keep making a good podcast.
Listen, it's okay to talk about vulnerable things in social life, but this is not the time to be vulnerable. This is the time to plug the podcast. Don't let this be the last thing they hear and they turn off the podcast. That we hope you like this podcast. Bye. You know?
So you want them to hear, just listen to this podcast. Blah, yeah. Blah, 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 blah.
Subscribe, comment, share, all the stuff. And buy a rice cooker from Yum Asia. See you next week, people.
Bye.
A massive thanks to all of our patrons who make this podcast possible. And we want to shout out our patrons at the Rice Emperor tier and above. Abby Campbell, AJ Revels, Alvin Ko, Amy Wong, Andy Lloyd, Ange Tran, Angela Din, Asian Snacks, Augustus Lowe, Ben Jen, Bill Shields, Chayi, Kiera Fadi, Chris Zaykit Wong, Christina Doris, Christy Lincoln, D-Team Emergency Response Team Wimbledon, Daniel Lee, David Pristoza, Debbie Lee, Diana Von Redig, Dill, Dingus, Doug Wheaton, Elizabeth Hay, Ella Wu, Francisca, Geraldine Wan, Grace Rotz, Hannah Wu, Holly Smith, Young Black, Iris Holland, Jay Assi, Janet To, Jared, Jeff Cho, Jennifer Wu, Jenny Chan, Jessica Liu, Jimmy Lee, Johanna, Judith Abraham, Carr, Catherine McRae, Kathy Ung, Carrie, Hito Ken, Krishna, Laura Lee, Leong, Loi Hugh Dick, Lori Hunt, Manwa Siu, Martina Gartner, Miles Newell, Mariah Bell, Natalie Lay, Perry, Philip Idistrom, Philip Squires, Ramona Simonette, Rebecca Tracy, Sabrina, Sakura Iwagami, Simone, Sandy, Sydney Mankowski, Sin, Susie Zhu, Se Meng Lau, Teresa Ko, Tunda Plum, Tom Green, Vita, Vera, Viruni Vera Wong, Viv, Wakas Ali, Wilson Yao, Winnie Wood, Yan Godfrey, Edith Wu, Chinese Hemp, Jeffrey Watson, Ji Won Choi, Melissa Pham, Nuridaya Razali, Toby Yang, Vivian Zhou, Winky Yu, Zhou Zhang. Thank you so much for your support.